This is a Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And this is Joni Webb with Cote de Texas.
And today we're going to be talking on our blogging segment about photography. Pictures we take, pictures we use from other people, and how we keep track of it all. Megan, I know that you are into photography, so why don't we start with you about pictures you've taken or that sort of thing.
I'm actually not that great a photographer myself, although I would love to be, because I do love photography as an art, as a medium. I love it. I tend to use Flickr a lot. Most of my Peace Out Fridays are from Flickr. There's so much great stuff on Flickr. So I do tend to use a lot from them. I find a lot on that found, that's spelled F-F-O-N-D, O-U-N-D, excuse me. So you guys should check it out. And then there's another one that is J-J-J-O-U-N-D, and you have to Google both of those. Found is, I'm not totally, it's a by invite only to be a member on it, so to register on it. So there are a lot of design bloggers on there uploading images that they find. So there's a lot of interesting things. There's a lot of really controversial things on there too. There's, you know, naked shots and that sort of thing. But at the same time, there's some really beautiful art photography. So I find a lot there. I also have several blogs that I look at a lot that are fine art related, that are European. So I find a lot through that too.
See, I've never used Flickr. I take a lot of my own pictures, and I have a Flickr account, and I've never really used it all that much.
Well, I noticed that a lot of bloggers actually use Flickr in order to get to spread the word, to spread their name a lot,
yeah,
to get more recognition and visibility. It's sort of an advertising place for a lot of the design bloggers.
I think that's how a lot of bloggers have met, actually, is on Flickr groups and.
A good way to go on Flickr is people ask me sometimes, well, how do you find them? A lot of times, what I do is I find other bloggers who have like interests, whose blogs that I love the look of, and I go on and I find them and I look at their favorites, which is an area that is open to, I think, anyone, and you can see who they've favorited. And often I'll go through there and just sort of pick out the ones that I like also, and it sometimes introduces me to new Flickr members that I had had in my contacts list before. But I'm not big on scanning. It takes too long.
It takes
on
too
my
long,
computer.
Yeah.
For me, it does.
Yeah, I hate to scan. I'll spend 5 hours searching for a photo rather than take 5 minutes and scan. And that's so stupid, but I hate to scan. I just hate it. I think maybe it has to do with my printer is down on the floor in a cabinet. And so I have to get on the floor and in this little, confined space. And so it's just not comfortable. I hate it. I use Flickr a lot. I'm trying to get into photography. I just recently bought a wide-angle lens yesterday, so I can't wait to get it to play with it. I also bought a new camera a while back, a G10, a Canon G10, which I'm really excited about. And it has a wide-angle lens built in, but I still cannot get the width that you need to take these interior shots. And
you know what, Tony? You know what I found that is really kind of one of the keys is getting back in a corner and up on something. Because I have a D40, Nikon D40, which is for the Nikon people who don't do Canon. And I found taking room shots when I do shots in my room of my own work, that getting in the corner and getting up a little bit. Like, you don't need a huge...
Well, what happened was I was asked to go to a show home by a designer and to take pictures, and she sent me before I left these. They had them professionally photographed, so I said okay, and I went. I took all these pictures, and I came back and looked at my photographs compared to his, and the width is tremendous, and I have a wide angle lens, and we were in the same spot in a lot of the. I could tell. So I got so disgusted, I went and ordered this lens and a tripod, and I really want to get into taking better shots.
Yeah, I used to be really a photography hobbyist, and I had the Nikon SLR film camera, which is, basically gathering dust now. So I've always sort of felt like my photography, which I really love doing, is an important part of my blog. Like, I'd rather take pictures myself than even use other people's professionally shot pictures of the same thing, just because I feel like it's closer to being my original content.
Yeah, I can see that. I wish I was a better photographer, because I think that I would rather use my own as well.
I don't know anything about it, you know, really. I just don't, and I keep, you know, looking at the book and trying to learn. It's like I need a tutorial very badly. And Linda, you talked me into getting a tripod, though.
Yeah, good. I think those are just incredibly important. You can't take it everywhere, obviously. Show houses are hard.
You can get those telescoping tripods, though, that make it a lot easier.
Or a little tabletop
what
one.
What is that?
You know, just the kind that's stacked down. You can push, and they kind of crank down to 12 inches, and then you can pull them out and they become full-size tripods. Or like Linda was about to say before I interrupted, those tabletop ones are great.
Yeah, I think that's what I think I did order. I think I ordered two, a bigger one and a smaller one. And so we'll see if it makes, I'm curious to see if the wide angle lens, if I can even attach it. I we'll see. You know, it's a big we'll see. So
one thing I found is really helpful when I've done like the Dining by Design event in Boston or any of the low light situations is really bracing the camera. I don't have a tripod with me, so I brace the camera against anything I possibly can. And I don't have a good camera. I have a Kodak point and shoot digital camera, but it's actually takes really good pictures. The year before last, one of the pictures I took at the Dining by Design in Boston made it into Elle Decor magazine. Which was really funny, because the professional photographer didn't get as good a shot of one of the tables as I did. And and it really was because it was a table that I was able to brace, get a good angle and brace the camera against a pole. So uh-huh. that it was really, you know, as solid as I could possibly make it. So I do think that a good camera is great, but learning the basics, and Joni, you might want to take a class, because I did that years ago. I took a lot of camera photography classes just to get those little tricks. But all those little things that make the pictures better. And, you know,
I don't understand, you know, apertures and, you know, shutter speed and all that. It just is Greek to me. But I do know I hate using a flash, and I don't ever use a flash.
Never use a flash.
Flash kills it, unless you're trying to go for that artsy Terry Richardson look, which is no flashes. I think that ruins it, cheapens everything.
Let me rephrase that. Unless. No flash unless it's of your face.
God. Oh, yeah.
Not even in your face. No, you don't want to use a flash in your face. You don't want to use a flash.
Yes,
you do if you're outdoors and there's a lot of shadows. You want to have a flash on someone's face.
I look so much older if I take a picture without a flash.
Yeah, but I think it cheapens the image if you have a flash.
Well, if you want an image of an old wrinkled prune, you know?
One of the big things in the blogs that I think we all kind of grapple with is the whole issue of copyright and using other people's images. And I used to work in rights and royalties in public television, so I did a lot of rights clearing, which means that now my own blog, I know when I'm not doing the right thing, and sometimes I still do it. I still don't do the right thing. Generally, you should always have to credit the photographer and the source as much as possible.
Which I always do, but what I wonder about is when people post photographs of maybe their work or others on their blog, and then somebody else comes along and uses it on their own. Now, I'm just wondering, does that make the person who comes along and uses it, are they in the wrong? Is there a law against what they're doing?
Yes, because you can self-copyright. Anything you do yourself is copyrighted by yourself.
Do you have to note that on your blog or under the picture?
It's automatic.
It's automatic. I'd say, you know, I've never done that because anyone can just, like, you could put a little bug in your picture if you don't want anyone taking your pictures, you know, scraping your pictures off your thing. You can just put a little thing that says this was my picture, which a lot of people do. And
a lot of people do, right.
And it's probably a smart thing to do, and I've just never done it because I'm too lazy.
And the reason I wanted to bring that up was not necessarily for myself, because I have a lot of people who write me emails and ask me about that, and I don't know the answer. Actually, I remember, Joni, a couple of years ago, maybe you and I got into conversation. We were emailing back and forth about what we could actually take, and we were sort of like, well, you know, the magazines actually thank us generally. You know, we get editors writing us every once in a while saying thank you. Right. And we use their photos.
The little research I've done, which I have done because it sometimes it just aggravates me to no end about this copyright thing, is the magazines generally do not care at all. And, yeah, you know, the photos are out there. They don't care at all. The magazines don't care if you use their photos. They just don't. I mean, they're circulating hundreds of thousands of copies. Why would they care if it goes on a blog? But there is fair use. And there have been a few cases that are making their way through the courts of blogs and fair use. And is a blog, which is nonprofit.
Well, not necessarily.
No, even if there's advertisement on the blog, it is still considered a nonprofit. And it's been tested. And it's just working its way through the courts, and there are cases where they've won. So, you know, it's not settled yet, but if someone wants to sue you, go ahead. If they want to sue me...
Well, anyone can sue anyone.
Right. And I think that, you know, new media always pushes those boundaries. I do think photographers, the magazines have a vested interest in people publicizing the magazines. So, of course, if you're saying, look at this beautiful spread in Metropolitan Home, well, we're advertising Metropolitan Home, so that kind of is the quiet quid pro quo. But the photographer might think otherwise, because photographers, you know, that's how they make their living, is selling their images.
I've learned to put, if I know who the photographer is, even though I've got, you know, I've pulled it from a Martha Stewart magazine or something, I try to put the photographer's name. I did have a woman who has this really cute little store that I posted about a few months ago. She let me use the photographer. A friend of hers in New York had taken all these pictures of the shop, and I used those photos, gave him credit. Well, every time you would Google his name, my blog came up. So he requested that I take them off, which I did, but it didn't help matters. So, unfortunately...
You know, to speak on to that, I'm terrible about not crediting. And for that one reason, the Google alert, you know, I just don't want someone coming after me and saying, take it off, you know, and once you put it on there, you're just alerting them to come after you. So I don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a gray area, and I always just figure if someone wants to ask me to remove something, it doesn't mean anything to me to remove an image or a post. You know, it's easy enough to do.
Right.
And, you know, it's the do it and apologize later. Very few of us are making enormous amounts of money on that individual piece.
Yeah.
Now, on my movie blog, I actually intentionally do not sell advertising because movie studios will go after you. For using images. I mean, that's just, you know, they don't care. They have the money. They have lawyers. They'll send out a cease and desist in a heartbeat. And
I think someone should test it. You know, let them do it. Let them sue a blog for putting stills on a blog of a movie that is, you know, 500,000 copies are floating around.
Made the money on that 500,000 copies. I mean, that's, you know, those are things that they have licensed and they have sold and they have made money on. I mean, it is their right. It is their property, and, you know.
But Linda, there is fair use in copyright, and a blog is a teaching tool. I mean, it is a...
Well, that...
that is what fair use is. I mean, what else is it?
You're right. And that's part of the reason why I don't sell advertising on that blog, so that I can really maintain that sense of it's an educational purpose.
The integrity
of it, and not make money on it. And
I think I've heard this, and someone put up a post of a photo shoot of an actress's home. The post came out before the actual magazine hit the stands, and there was an issue. There's a problem. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Well, what happened was the blogger was at the photo shoot, and the pictures from the photo shoot were put on the blog, and the magazine came out, and in the magazine it had said, watch next month for a behind-the-scenes shoot. So they asked this blogger to take it down.
Oh, okay. But
they were going to do their own behind-the-scenes shots the next month. And, you know, they had even advertised in the magazine. So, yeah, she did take it down. But that's what I mean. Okay, I can see that. If someone's going to lose money because someone is, I guess that even has to say with showing pictures from a magazine the same month the magazine is for sale.
But that happens all the time.
Right, it does, but is that right?
Well, the magazine, sure, from the magazine perspective, they're getting advertising, they're getting publicity. I mean, I think nothing going kind of this goes back to the whole quality of the photos, which is why I think that if you're taking photos for your blog, you should make, you know, any blogger should make every effort to take great photos, particularly in the design world, because magazines, the thing they have over us is nothing can really beat the beautiful glossy spread. And of course, Joni, you've managed to get these incredibly huge pictures on your blog, so you're coming close.
A pet peeve of mine, speaking of photography, are these blogs that will take a picture and want it to be big, so they'll go over the resolution and the whole picture is blurred.
Yeah, you know, I hate that.
And it just looks awful.
Well, I just don't understand why anybody would, you know, do a screen grab or take a picture of their own and not Photoshop it or use, I mean, there's plenty of, I mean, I have Photoshop and I can use Photoshop, but I actually use on my iMac or my MacBook the iPhoto software more than Photoshop, and it's so easy to use to sharpen pictures and brighten pictures, and you know, it takes 2 seconds, and I don't understand why people don't do that. This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, and you can download our podcasts on iTunes. Search for Skirted Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week with two brand new podcasts.